The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, March 21st, and we have yet another emergency podcast. Joining me to break down the Matt Ryan trade away from Atlanta to the Indianapolis Colts, John Breach. Breach, what's up, buddy?
What is happening, Brinson? Do any quarterbacks play for the team they played for last year?
No. Remember 2 weeks ago when everybody left the combine? It was like, there's not going to be any quarterback movement. This is going to be boring this offseason. And now all hell has broken
loose. Remember 2 weeks ago when every NFC quarterback left the NFC and left the AFC? What is going on?
So Matt Ryan, the latest in a long line. It's pretty wild when, and we'll get into that, of course, but let's look at the compensation. Is a pretty, not bad for the Indianapolis Colts. Just a third round pick they are giving up in order to get Matt Ryan. Just to set the background here, Deshaun Watson, who was traded to the Cleveland Browns, obviously was the Falcons were in on Deshaun Watson, trying to trade for Deshaun Watson. They were working with Matt Ryan, as we've come to believe and to understand, they had worked with Matt Ryan to get a restructure deal done so they could clear up some cap space. But that restructure was put on hold when the team started pursuing Deshaun Watson. They talked to Matt Ryan and kept an open line of communication with Matt Ryan while pursuing Deshaun. And the idea and the belief was they would trade Matt Ryan to a friendly destination, whether it was Indianapolis, San Francisco, as I floated, or maybe even Seattle. I don't know if he wants to go there, but somewhere that's not a bad landing spot if they were to acquire Deshaun Watson. It stands to reason that throughout this whole process, Matt Ryan was kind of like, you know, screw you guys for this. And I know he's helping them, but it is. If you're Matt Ryan and you're probably the greatest player in Falcons history, Breach, aren't you a little insulted if your team is trying to acquire Deshaun Watson, who has 22, you know, civil lawsuits for sexual misconduct lingering over his head, and you've been a model citizen, you've played well for the team, you had him within a few minutes of winning a Super Bowl, the 28-3 lead, you won the MVP there, and now you're sort of looking at the landscape and thinking, man, you know, one, I'm insulted by the Falcons, two, there's no chance I'm winning anything with Atlanta, I only have a couple of years left, and Indianapolis sure does look like a pretty nice landing spot for a guy like Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, not just has he been a model citizen for the Falcons, but you look at what happened when he arrived. He saved the franchise from what then was the biggest legal NFL controversy of all time with Michael Vick and him getting suspended for the dogfighting. And then the Falcons come out and say, you know, we're taking Matt Ryan first round 2008. Matt Ryan saves the franchise, makes them successful for the past 14 seasons. And so I'm sure watching this legal entanglement happen where the Falcons are going after this quarterback with 22 civil lawsuits hanging over his head did not sit well with Ryan. And so, you know, we did talk about it a little bit last week. It's not surprising that he wants out. I would never have gone back to Atlanta after they did that. And although we can say that this is, you see the difference between a veteran quarterback and a crybaby quarterback, like Baker Mayfield's out here publicly tweeting things and saying, I want to trade and making demands. Matt Ryan just sitting back and saying, yeah, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to let the situation with Deshaun Watson play out because whatever I say can't impact it. So why say anything at all? And then once that has played itself out, then I'll let the Falcons know what's going to happen. And that's what it feels like. And it also feels like the Falcons were thinking, you know what? He's been a good soldier. We're not going to screw him over. We're going to give Matt Ryan what he wants because he deserves it.
Absolutely. And I think I don't think this is a little bit reminiscent of the Matthew Stafford trade. And both former top five picks, Stafford first overall. Ryan took taken three after the Longs, who are not brothers, Chris Long and Jake Long, in that draft. And so I think for Matty Ice, it was probably like, you know, if the Falcons come to you and say, hey, look, Deshaun is interested in coming to Atlanta, we'd like to pursue him. You're like, yeah, that's fine. But, you know, if you want me to help out with this, you need to facilitate, you know, something beneficial for me. And the Falcons whiffed on Deshaun, and probably, you know, at that, I wonder whether Matt Ryan wanted to be traded no matter what happened with Deshaun, or, you know, like it would, you know what I'm saying? Like, was this something born? Do you think Matt Ryan's bitter at the Falcons, or just like a little miffed, and they had a deal in place where they were going to facilitate getting him somewhere good?
You know, I feel like his feelings were probably hurt when all this Deshaun Watson news broke. But as soon as he saw that the Colts were his landing spot, he's like, all right, you know, it's only been I've only been mad for 48 hours. I'm going to go ahead and let bygones be bygones, because I actually have a chance to win a Super Bowl with this team. I mean, we're talking the Falcons are in rebuild mode. The Falcons are not doing anything in 2022. No one expects them to do anything in 2022. Matt Ryan would just be sitting back there getting beat up on every play. And now you go to a team that has a legit shot. You're a Super Bowl contender in Indianapolis. So I think that he might have been unhappy for a day or two, but I think now he is very happy because he is with a Super Bowl contender.
Mm. Yeah, I think the Colts at 25-1 now on Caesars to win the Super Bowl. I'd be curious to see if we've gotten any movement. By the way, this is a theme for the Indianapolis Colts. They have had a different week one starting quarterback every year since 2017. Scott Tolzien first started for the Colts in 2017 when Luck was injured. Andrew Luck came back and started week one in 2018 and then retired. They had to roll with Jacoby Brissett in 2019 because Luck walked away in training camp. Then they signed Phillip Rivers in free agency in 2020, traded for Carson Wentz last offseason, and, you know, had the debacle at the end of the year against the Jaguars in 2021 that facilitated moving him to Washington, and now bring in Matt Ryan, who we assume will be their week one starter in 2022 if he is healthy. Just trying to see if we've got, they may have taken him down. Nope, we got division odds. The Titans were -105 prior to this trade to win the division, and the Colts were +150 to win the division before this trade happened. Now over at Caesars, Titans are +110 to win the division, Colts +125, Jacksonville Jaguars +625, and the Houston Texans 28-1. If you were making a bet, Breach, on the AFC South, what would you pull the trigger on? And if you're watching on YouTube, one, smash that like button, and two, tell us in the chat, leave a comment on who you would take to win the AFC South right now. Either your pick to win, or maybe even the best value. If you know, like, maybe you think the Texans are somehow going to stun the world at 28-1.
You know what? I am Mr. Tennessee Titans. I live in Nashville. I picked them to win the division last year. But I have to say that I think right now I'm leaning toward the Colts. I like Matt Ryan and Indy. I almost talked myself into the Colts being a Super Bowl contender last year, but then I just felt like Carson Wentz wasn't going to get over the hump. And Matt Ryan is a huge upgrade over Carson Wentz, and that's the bottom line. And we can say, look, Matt Ryan's getting old, but he's not super old for an NFL quarterback. He's a former NFL MVP. If he has talent around him, he's going to play well. He has Jonathan Taylor. His offensive line is 1,000 times better than what he had in Atlanta. The defense he has in Indianapolis is 10 times better than what he had in Atlanta. This is a much better team, and he's a much better quarterback than what the Colts had last year. And I will be shocked if the Colts don't win at least 10 games.
I think 9.5 is a good over-under for them. So you would take the over on 9.5 wins.
Yes.
Or maybe I think 9.5 is probably the number for both the Titans and the Colts going. That's what I would guess that the Vegas sets it at. I need to look at who their opponents are next year, but I would think that, you know, it may, like 9.5 is probably a good number. Do they play the Falcons? Wouldn't that be fun?
They do play the Falcons.
Of course they do. Wait, do they?
They play the
No, they don't play the Falcons.
Oh, no. I was looking at the Falcons schedule.
You're like, yeah, the Falcons, yeah.
I was like, why do the Colts play the Buccaneers twice? Something's wrong here.
I want to ask, is Carson Wentz, God, I'm in my bad habits, is Matt Ryan the best quarterback in the division now in the AFC South?
I think for 2022, yes.
Yes, just 1 year.
For just 2022, I think I would guess that Matt Ryan has the best statistical production in the division and is the most impactful quarterback. Although I think it is worth noting that in a Frank Reich offense, you know, you would expect to see fairly, like, I don't think they'll be hyper aggressive in terms of passing the ball a ton, right? Like, I mean, we've seen, so Carson Wentz, let's see, Carson Wentz had how many attempts last year? And Matt Ryan, by the way, 2021 season, the worst he's had in a long time. Passing yards was his lowest since 2010. Passing touchdowns, 20. My goodness. Lowest since 2008. Yards per attempt and air yards per attempt at 7.3 and 7.1, respectively. Lowest since 2013. I think you can attribute some of that to a lot of that to both Arthur Smith's offense and the offensive line and just a general lack. You know, they lost Calvin Ridley midway through the season. Kyle Pitts was really good, but, you know, solo, they traded Julio Jones in the offseason. You know, it's just not an ideal spot, not an ideal situation for a guy like Matt Ryan, who's not mobile. And, you know, and anyway, 516 passing attempts for Carson Wentz in 2021. And in 2020, Philip Rivers, 543 passing attempts. So, I mean, I think you can make the case that we could see Matt Ryan had 560 last year, 626 led the NFL the year before for a 4-win Falcons team. His lowest previous was 2017 when he went 529. And then with Kyle Shanahan in 2016 had 534. So, you know, I think we could see something like a much more efficient version of Matt Ryan than we've seen the last couple of years.
Well, and Brinson, I think that's a key because you look at Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan loves to run the ball. We all think, you know, hey, look, he wants to air it out, and we saw him air it out a little bit with Matt Ryan in 2016 with Matt Ryan, won the MVP. But as you mentioned, that 2016 season was the second lowest passing total of the past decade. His rookie year, he was lower. His second year in the Falcons weren't really relying as much on him. But since 2010, those were the two seasons with Kyle Shanahan where he wasn't throwing as much. He was still throwing the ball. And so now you have the Colts who have Jonathan Taylor as an option. Matt Ryan's not going to be asked to throw the ball 600 times in Indianapolis. And so you put him in that 500 number, and that's where he's had his most success. I mean, you look at every single season where the Falcons were winning 10, 11, 12, 13 games, and most of those seasons he was throwing passes somewhere in the 500 range. That was his pass attempts number.
Yeah. It just stands to reason that with Frank Reich, you're going to get a heavy dose of Jonathan Taylor, a bunch of play action, and, you know, what the Colts need. And man, they still got Michael Pittman. I know that, you know, did they bring back T.Y. Hilton? They make him the assistant wide receivers coach with Reggie Wayne. As a Colts receiver joke that didn't land at all. Ashton Doolin, they like a lot too. They need to get another wide receiver, I would think, to kind of beef up that offense. But you have, you know, Quentin Nelson on the offensive line, Ryan Kelly, Braden Smith. I mean, they got a good offensive line. Mo Alley Cox, you know, maybe still some untapped potential there. But yeah, with Taylor and Nyheim Hines, it's hard not to like this offense. 13-1 to win the AFC, by the way, tied with the Titans. The Titans and the Colts are so actually, if you like Indianapolis, now would be the time to bet Indy, I think, at +125, because it stands to reason that both, if the Colts and the Titans are even here at Caesars to win the Super Bowl and even to win the AFC, it stands to reason that they should probably be even to win the division as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, there are a couple things. You were going through the Colts roster kind of, and I think they're a big gaping hole right now, especially when you are trading for a quarterback like Matt Ryan, who isn't exactly mobile. Your gaping hole on offense on your depth chart is at left tackle because you have Eric Fisher leaving. You have no idea who your left tackle is going to be. Are you going to sign someone? Are you going to use one of your backups on the roster? Are you going to draft someone? Are you going to trust a rookie?
And you don't have a first round pick, obviously. That one's good. It stings for them too, because that first round pick could have been a pretty good spot for them to draft. They do have the 42nd overall pick and the 73rd overall pick, which they got from Washington in the Carson Wentz trade, and then they sent a third round pick. Do they send the 73rd or the 82nd?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen third round. That's all I know.
Yeah,
they might have been, the number might not be out there. But I was going to say, wouldn't it be hilarious if they go out and sign Terron Armstead?
That's actually a really good idea.
I mean, they have over the cap, has the Matt Ryan trade in the salary cap number. So right now the Colts have $15.8 million left in salary cap space.
You easily sign.
So they could definitely make room for Armstead. And that, I mean, then you become one of the favorites. I mean, we're talking about the favorite in the AFC South. You had Armstead. I feel like you become one of the top three favorites in the AFC. No, maybe.
Yeah. The AFC is, I don't know about top three favorites. AFC is loaded, but if you add Armstead with that defense and everything you've got, you know, on that side of the ball, and then you go and get a wide receiver, maybe with 42nd overall. Yeah. I mean, like you could see, looks like they sent the 82nd in the trade to the, wait, is that right? That they got the second round pick for, wait, why was I thinking that one of the Wentz picks was like subject to his playing time?
It was.
Okay.
He had the 70%.
No. That was the, yeah, but from the.
So it looks like you're right. It was the 82nd overall.
Yeah. 82nd overall traded to Atlanta for Matt Ryan.
And that's a steal because look, you know who's the most bad about this trade?
The Cleveland Browns?
Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, really. I mean,
because they probably wanted a first or maybe a second round pick for Baker Mayfield. And if you're the Colts, let's see, do we give a third round pick for an established former NFL MVP? Or do we give a second round pick for somebody who spent the past 2 weeks pouting on Twitter about how much he hates his team? Yeah, I think we're going to go with option A.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I forgot. All right. So the Colts and the Commodores swapped second round picks. The Colts had 47th and swapped to 42 with Washington. And then next year's third round pick that Washington sent them is the conditional, if Carson plays 70% of the snaps, Indianapolis gets a second round pick instead of a third round pick. So that seems likely that would happen. Otherwise, it's a real disaster for Washington. So yeah, I mean, I think you got 42 and 73 overall. One of those picks maybe gets used on a wide receiver, unless you feel like, you know, you can, unless you feel like you can bring back T.Y. Hilton, and T.Y. Hilton, Doolin and Pittman is enough to get you there. I'd like to see him add maybe one more. I mean, Drake London's not going to fall to him, but. There could be a good wide receiver there at 42 for the Colts if they want to try and keep going all in.
And maybe you call up Odell Beckham. I mean, there's definitely, we talked about with
Jarvis Landry,
the Packers losing all those receivers. We talked about some of the replacements maybe for Davante Adams, and the Colts are in the same boat. Like there are some free agent receivers out there if you want to take a look and if you want to add another weapon for Matt Ryan.
Yeah, the Beckham thing is still tricky, though, just because it's like...
coming off an ACL?
Yeah. Is AJ Green still out there, too?
AJ Green, Sammy Watkins.
I don't hate that.
Will Fuller?
Sammy Watkins. Will Fuller's a nice downfield option. But, I mean, look, Michael Pittman can be a true number one, I feel like. But you need to complement him with something else. AJ Green would be an interesting option. But maybe he's too old at this point.
I don't know.
Agent. Keaton Croxon in the chat points out Julio Jones released by the Titans.
Ooh.
If Julio will come for less money than, for enough money where you can still facilitate, you know, potentially signing a left tackle like Armstead. I mean, if you had an Armstead and Julio, the hype around this Colts team would be outrageous. Like people would be geeked up to select this Colts team in like to win the division. Like I think add Julio and Armstead. And even if it's more like, that's more about it's like splashy name value than actual potential production. If Armstead and Julio can't stay healthy, I do think there would be a lot of hype around this Colts team. All right, let's take a quick break and we come back. What does this trade mean for the Falcons moving forward? The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
If you're watching live on YouTube, smash that like button. Come on, people, hit the like button and tell us who you think the Falcons should draft at number 8 in the 2022 NFL draft. When Wilson and I did our mock draft show, like literally right, like the Matt Ryan trade happened while we were doing the mock draft show. He had Kyle Hamilton going 8th overall to the Falcons. This is before any quarterback had gone, because he had the Seahawks taking Malik Willis number 9 with the very next pick. Matt Corral fell to the Saints at 18. The Lions took Sam Howell at 32, and Kenny Pickett fell out of the first round. Breach, do you feel like the Falcons need to use the number 8 pick on a quarterback here?
I think they see what's in the QB market over the next week, 2 weeks, because you know we've seen some speculation they might trade for or sign Marcus Mariota. I think that would be an interesting addition, because Arthur Smith, very familiar with Mariota, because Smith was in Tennessee during the time that Mariota was there. And so if they make that move, they would only make it because Smith is a fan of what Mariota can do. And if you do add him, I don't think you draft a quarterback this year, because he's still young. And if he looks good running Arthur Smith's offense in 2022, then you say, all right, well, now we don't have to worry about quarterback. So I think if you add him, you say, let's give it a year. This isn't a great quarterback class. Figure things out next year. If you do not add him, or if you don't add anyone in the next week or two, I think you start going, all right, we're going to the draft. We're taking a quarterback with our first pick, and let's decide who's the best.
There is certainly going to be some interest in Tuesday's pro day and Wednesday's pro day, as we've got Malik Willis on Tuesday working out for Liberty, and then Matt Corral working out on Wednesday with Ole Miss. We'll see how much they do and what it all pops out with. But, you know, I think there's been some buzz that, like, the perfect landing spot for Malik Willis could be the Falcons. My boy Thor Nystrom at NBC points out, Malik Willis grew up in the shadow of the Georgia Dome, spent the youth of dreaming being the Falcons starting quarterback. He's the closest thing to Michael Vick the NFL seen since. He says Wentz won't be available at 1-8. But if I'm Atlanta, I offer the house to move up a la Vic. I think there's an okay chance. I don't know. The Willis thing is weird, because we don't, it's hard to know how teams evaluate Willis right now. It does seem like anybody who drafts him probably has to consider him sort of a, like maybe a potential sit for a year and learn guy. Like we don't know if he's definitely ready to start right now. But the possibility of adding Mariota in free agency and then drafting Willis at 8 is kind of intriguing for me. I don't know if I would want to move up to get Willis, but if I could get Mariota, have him play most of 2022, and add Willis as well. I don't think that's a terrible idea. The only problem for the Falcons is Breach. They have so many holes everywhere now. I mean, and they have this $44 million dead cap charge coming from Matt Ryan, which, by the way, is the record, the NFL record for the biggest dead cap charge in league history, breaking, ironically, Carson Wentz's previous record of dead cap money that he set with the Philadelphia Eagles in 2020, in last year, because he was when he was playing for the Colts. I think the only quarterback under contract right now for the Falcons is Felipe Franks.
No.
Yeah, because Josh Rosen, I was wrong in the mock draft pod. Josh Rosen and AJ McCarron are both free agents. So Felipe Franks, the only quarterback under contract. Marcus Mariota makes too much sense given his history with Arthur Smith. Felipe and then the Malik Frank. Willis thing is just kind of a fascinating subplot.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, look, Malik Willis is tantalizing, but it's I would just be a little worried about trading the farm away to move up and grab him. Because, look, Michael Vick, if somebody wants to compare him to Michael Vick, that's fine. But Michael Vick played at Virginia Tech and was electrifying there. Lamar Jackson, electrifying at Louisville. And then you have someone coming out from Liberty who just – they didn't play the type of competition that Lamar played in college or that Michael Vick played in college. And so – you know, how well is he going to adjust the NFL? He might end up being awesome. Like, there's no doubt about that. Sure. And offensive coordinators are a lot better about using talent like that, mobile talent who can just get yards on the ground as easily as they can through the air. And so, but when you're playing teams like Louisiana Monroe and Middle Tennessee State and UMass, it's hard to tell. You know, we can watch a film and say, oh man, he's outclassing these guys, but these guys are on a lower tier than what guys like Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick faced when they were in college. So
yeah, and he came and played in Raleigh in 2020, as I told Wilson, and you know, wasn't like didn't blow anybody's mind with his performance. You know, like you know, how is he gonna perform against NFL guys if he struggles against some power five defenses, you know?
Right. And that would be my hesitation with him. That doesn't mean I wouldn't take him. I just have to really think that one through if I'm the Falcons. And I'm not sure I would trade up for him.
I don't think I would want to trade up for him, especially if it's like a future first, because, you know, again, like this Falcons roster is, I mean, you got Jake Matthews at, you know, like you feel safe with him at left tackle, but he was drafted in 2014. Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry, you know, you have all these high investments on the offensive line, but they weren't very good. Kyle Pitts is definitely a blue chip guy. Cordarrelle Patterson's a fun story, but I mean, he's an older veteran. Grady Jarrett was a 2015 pick. There's Lorenzo Carter, nice signing maybe in free agency. AJ Terrell has been great at cornerback. And I don't know. It's just like this roster is not built to win right now, not with that dead cap hit. So I just wonder what it doesn't feel like it's built to win right now, even though it's probably still maybe even the second best team, probably the third best team in the division, right? Where would you rank them?
I'd probably still take the Saints.
Yeah, I think the Saints with all their pieces, assuming they get Jameis back, is better. I will take the Falcons over the Carolina Panthers, I think, even without Matt Ryan. And by the way, now my if you invested in the Falcons to win the division at all, that's...
You want to see a surprise?
What's that? Oh, there we go. The Bucs now -270 to win the division. Hopefully people, when Tom Brady announced he was coming back, people jumped all over the Bucs to win the division at plus like 150 or plus 110 or whatever it was. Saints plus 4.75, Panthers 9-1, Falcons 10-1. No interest in betting any of those things. Like the Bucs are the only bet and they're just too expensive now. If you can somehow parlay them, fine. But I wouldn't want to bet on anything on that list. Tampa, if Tom Brady plays 17 games, is going to comfortably run away with this division.
I mean, those odds are why Tom Brady came back. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's a great point. And by the way, like the Falcons could also just roll out Marcus Mariota this year and with Felipe Franks, sort of tank knowing you got that huge dead cap number, you know, develop some guys, hope you hit on and draft somebody at 8 that you hope can bolster your defense or, you know, improve your offense, whatever it is. I mean, it seems like a pass rusher or Kyle Hamilton would still make more sense. And then, you know, you maybe look to next year to draft a quarterback or try and, you know, just try and patch things up for a while until you can find somebody in the draft that you believe is a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, that sounds like the move here.
All right. Let's, what about winners and losers? Because Debo requires that we do winners and losers in every single podcast now, which is like, whatever. It's fine. I love winners and losers. Do you want to go first on winners or do you want me to?
You can go first.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to say Matt Ryan is an obvious winner. You could go Colts as the obvious winner too. If you want, like, Chris Ballard.
Don't steal my winners.
I mean, Matt Ryan gets out of a nasty situation in Atlanta. He doesn't get to spend his entire time playing for the Falcons his entire career, which I'm sure stings. But I mean, how many, like, Aaron Rodgers is tracking to be the only quarterback in, like, only elite quarterback in recent memory who's going to end up playing his entire career for the same team. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, I guess, actually. Oh, no, Drew Brees plays for the Chargers. You know, Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, all these guys end up going to other teams. I mean, Russell Wilson, right? You know, and so Matt Ryan, I think, gets at the age of 36. Let me make sure he won't be 37 by the time he starts. Yeah, he'll be, he'll turn 37 in May. Still has, I think, 2 to 3 good years left in him if he's on a team like the Colts that runs the football and that will look to create beneficial situations for him. It is a huge, huge upgrade for Matt Ryan to go from the Falcons to the Colts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, we're saying he's going from a team that's a cellar dweller to now a Super Bowl contender. And so my winner is Frank Reich. This guy has had to deal with so much drama and turmoil at the quarterback position since he arrived. Remember, when he took the job in 2018, he thought, I have Andrew Luck. I have the quarterback of the future. I am going to win multiple Super Bowls, and I am going to crush it. Boom. Andrew Luck is there for one season and then retires. Reich gets stuck with Jacoby Brissett. So, you know, Brenton, you read that quarterback list, and part of that is that Reich has been there for 4 seasons. He's had 4 different starting quarterbacks. Obviously, Philip Rivers in 2020, who then retires. You get one season of Rivers, and this really... When you're Reich, you brought in the guy you wanted last year with Carson Wentz, the guy you had faith in, that blew up in your face, and now you're kind of eating crow there, but then your general manager calls and says, hey, what if we can get Matt Ryan? And if you're Frank Reich, you're thinking, oh my God, we can upgrade from Carson Wentz. No one's even going to remember that happened if we can get to the playoffs or to the Super Bowl, and here he is. He's got his 4th quarterback, and besides Andrew Luck, who retired, I think this is going to be – he's got his 5th quarterback in 5 years. I think this is going to be his best shot at getting to a Super Bowl.
I would say that I think Philip Rivers, maybe probably comparable. I think Rivers and Ryan would I bet they would have having comparable seasons. Like, I think Matt Ryan could have a better season than Rivers. I think the reason Rivers made more sense, even in a COVID year, was that he was familiar with Frank Reich's system. And so that's the one thing that, you know, Matt Ryan will have to figure out is the new system, but you know, it shouldn't be that big of a deal, you know, in a quote unquote normal off season. I think I would rank Rivers and Ryan 1A, 1B. In terms of the last 3 years, and then Carson Wentz a clear third. But yeah, if this works out and you go to the playoffs, and good luck going to the playoffs in the AFC, because it's really stacked. But if this works out and your team is good and you go to the playoffs, Jim Irsay will completely forget the Carson Wentz debacle that almost got everybody put on the hot seat. Losers wise, I think there are 2 clear losers. Would you like to go first?
I said it earlier in the podcast, and if you want to mention people in Ohio, I'll let you. I'll go a little odd if you want.
Okay, I'll say Baker Mayfield is a clear loser because Baker Mayfield is being replaced by Deshaun Watson. He's asked for a trade. Now, it's great that he's going to get his wish and get traded, but the quarterback landing spots are drying up pretty quickly. It's possible that Baker ends up going, and he's not going to Indy now, obviously. And I think that's where everybody saw it. Indy was the one spot where, man, you know, good offensive line, smart coaching, good GM, plenty of money, you know, decent weapons, can go in there and win early with an okay defense. And now Baker cannot go to Indy. He is probably stuck between Seattle and Carolina as the final landing spot. I don't think the Browns will care that much about sending him inside the conference, although they would probably prefer to avoid it. So maybe New Orleans, Seattle, or Atlanta. I mean, New Orleans, Seattle. Oh, yeah, I guess it could go to Atlanta. New Orleans.
Yeah, I think the Falcons, if they're rebuilding, they're not going to trade for someone who has an $18 million salary cap hit.
Yeah, I don't think they can afford that with the dead cap hit anyway.
Seahawks feel like the best shot. Maybe the Panthers, like you just said. But is there anybody in the AFC that would even want him?
Take the Saints off the list because they are signing Jameis Winston to a 2-year deal. Woo. with a base value of $28 million, including $21 million guaranteed. Wow. Sources tell Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport of NFL Media. That's a lot of money for Jameis Winston.
So there we go. That means that Baker Mayfield, you're going to the Seahawks, buddy. Pack your bags for the Pacific Northwest because there's no one else who needs a starting quarterback. And you know what? What does that mean for Jimmy Garoppolo then? He was going to be my other loser.
Yeah. Jimmy G not going to Cleveland. I mean, where is Jimmy G going? They can't. They're not going to trade him to Seattle.
They're not trading Seattle, which means Seattle's going to get Baker Mayfield now.
Yes. Yeah. If Seattle and Baker Mayfield feel like the right fit, Seattle's expressed interest in him, and he's not going to be like, wait, no, I want to go to Indy now. You can't send me there. They're like, look, you either go to Seattle or Carolina. What do you want to do? He's like, all right, you know, Seattle sounds great. Yeah, and Baker to the Falcons wouldn't make sense. They only have $13.5 million in cap space, so that wouldn't work out unless they wanted to sign him to a contract. I think you could say the 49ers are maybe shaping up as possible losers too, because it's hard to imagine them getting what they want from Jimmy G. Jimmy G might end up staying in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was some speculation a week or two ago that Kyle Shanahan wouldn't be completely – they weren't going to give Jimmy Garoppolo away, and if he stayed in San Francisco, the 49ers would be fine with that, even though they're trying to unload him.
Interesting. Wouldn't that be something?
And that would be something. And, you know, I think another loser is just everyone in the AFC. The conference keeps getting better and better and better. I tweeted out a list of 11 teams, and four of them are going to miss the playoffs. So you're talking about the Bills, the Patriots, the Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals, the Colts, the Titans, the Raiders, the Broncos, the entire AFC West. And four of those good teams are going to miss the playoffs. That's what this comes down to. I mean, this division, this conference, everything is just loaded. The Titans are a loser because now their path to an AFC South title got much more difficult.
And you knew, if you're Tennessee, you knew that the Colts were going to get some kind of quarterback. But, like, this is probably almost easily the worst-case scenario for you.
Oh, if you were the Titans, you were praying that Baker Mayfield ended up in Indianapolis.
Yeah, Baker or Jimmy G would be the two better options. I still think Baker could have been good in Indy, but I feel like Frank Reich and Chris Ballard would much prefer to take on this veteran who can come in. He's not going to rock the boat at all. You don't need to have any contract talks whatsoever. Just come in, play, work hard, grind, get on the same page with your teammates, learn the offense, and you see what they can do next year. So the AFC quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan, Trevor Lawrence, throwing that list as well, Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, and Russell Wilson. I think you can include Tannehill on the list, right? I mean, like he's
more of a Derrick Henry product, but yeah, I mean,
okay. I'm just saying there's at most two teams, and maybe, I guess, Mac Jones. And like, I mean, there's just not a lot of teams without either a franchise quarterback or a quarterback they spent a first round pick on recently in the AFC. In the NFC, it's Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray. Like, the AFC is so much more loaded at quarterback than the NFC.
It's ridiculous how much more loaded they are. I mean, it's unbelievable that this has happened and how quarterback
all the AFC falling is in place for Tom Brady once again. Happy for that lovable loser to finally get catch a break or two.
Prisco just pointed this out. Matt Ryan instantly becomes the best QB in the AFC South right now, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. I would say that you could also mention that another loser is the Falcons, because you go all in on chasing Deshaun Watson and then you get burned by the Cleveland Browns of all teams who you thought were out of the mix. Like, the Falcons had to think they were the front runner to get Deshaun Watson. And then you feel okay about trading Matt Ryan. You're rebooting everything. And now it's like you missed on Deshaun Watson and you still had to sort of honor your agreement or whatever it was with Matt Ryan to send him to a contender. And so now you're sort of just I think they were okay moving on from Matt Ryan anyway, because of the way that the contract set up and just sort of where they were. They needed to do it at some point, but you're much more competitive with Matt Ryan than you are with Marcus Mariota and Felipe Franks, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But so, it's just kind of, you know what? We're chopping this down. Let's start the rebuild. We're not going to win. We're not a Super Bowl contender with Matt Ryan in Atlanta.
Well, Terry Fontenot had said earlier in the offseason that he wanted to have his cake and eat it too, and that they were going to try and rebuild and, you know, reload or whatever it was going to be. And now it's like, you are full-blown rebuilding at this point.
Yeah, you're not getting your cake, man.
Yeah, no cake.
Somebody stole your cake and ate it.
No, you know, you get cake, you just don't get to eat it. But you got to stare at the cake.
And it's a flavor you don't like, so you don't even want to eat it.
No, it's a flavor you love, so you desperately want to eat it, and you're not allowed to eat it.
There's no cake, Brinson.
Manny A asked in the chat on YouTube. By the way, if you're in the chat or you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button for us and make sure and hit alert so you know when we go live, like for this one. Would Panthers get Jimmy G for the right price? Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think the problem is they can't trade their first round pick because it's 6th overall. They don't have a second round pick because of the Darnold trade, right? And so
the Panthers have all the leverage. Like any team trying to get Jimmy, if the 49ers are really trying to unload him, the Panthers are really the only option.
I think if the Panthers offered a 2023 second round pick, the 49ers would jump all over that.
I mean, how do you think the whole Jimmy thing, like, so you're the Saints, right? And you just cleared all this cap space and you had some draft compensation lined up to land Deshaun Watson. That blows up in your face. You could turn around and try and trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, but instead they decided that Jameis Winston was a better option than Jimmy. So think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, so that doesn't say a lot about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, it's also like Jameis at a cost versus Jimmy for a draft pick. Like, I don't think the 49ers are trading Jimmy for less than a second round pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think Florio reported that John Lynch said they had an offer with 2 second-round draft picks lined up, which doesn't sound believable at all, which sounds like Lynch is blowing smoke, not
Florio. I mean, is this before or after? And let's be clear, too. The Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo dominoes were going to fall after Deshaun Watson and then after Matt Ryan. Like Matt, in the pecking order of teams and how they want them, Matt Ryan quarterbacks and how the teams want them. I think Matt Ryan was the number 2 behind Deshaun Watson, and Watson we thought might not trigger the domino because he went to Cleveland instead of Atlanta, but it ended up triggering this domino anyway. And so now Baker and Jimmy G, I would guess Baker is next and then Jimmy G.
I mean, the hilarious thing is that Jimmy G has no guaranteed money. The Saints just gave Jameis $14 million per year. Jimmy's cap hit, his base salary is only $24 million. So if you trade for him, you're only taking on like a 26. He's got a couple bonuses in there, $27 million cap hit, which is not big for a starting quarterback. And so I think the funny thing here is that 49ers could also cut Garoppolo if they just decided we need this $25 million in cap space. So it's just crazy to think about what's going on with him because it went from he seems like one of the top quarterbacks out there to Sean Watson, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan all switched teams, and now there is no market for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep. It's crazy. All right. That'll do it for the Matt Ryan traded to the Colts emergency podcast. Clint C actually threw in this crazy 3-way trade. Jimmy G to the Falcons, Matt Ryan to the 49ers. I think Matt Ryan's staying with the Colts. Right?
That's,
he could easily trade like
taking, Clint is taking the Brinson. He has Brinsonized that idea with your mad theory that the 49ers want Matt Ryan to reunite him with Kyle Shanahan.
Also, I don't know why the Colts, I don't think the Colts would facilitate that because then they'd be left without a quarterback unless they were just trying to pile up picks and then trade for Baker. I mean, so yeah, I think the Colts are probably riding with Matt Ryan. And it'll make for a fascinating season. Quarterback movement continues to dominate the offseason as we watch these guys work out on their pro days. The draft will have an impact on it, of course, and so will the remaining quarterback dominoes. Make sure and subscribe. Hit the like button if you're watching on YouTube, and subscribe and hit the alert button so you'll be able to get that Jimmy G emergency podcast or that Baker Mayfield emergency podcast sent to your mobile device. For Breach, I am Brinson. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you guys later.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.